Greetings is co-hosted and co-produced by Bobby O'Rourke and Dan Conroy. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at GreetingsPod or on Twitter at GreetingsCast for weekly updates, photos, and to see what card we're talking about that week.
Greetings and welcome to yet another episode of Greetings, the Greeting Card Podcast. I am precisely 49.99999% of your hosts, Bobby O'Rourke.
And I am approximately 48.75, now with added butter, one of your hosts, Dan Conroy.
The other 1.02% was a write-in candidate for our podcast.
It was, and we want to sincerely give a congratulations and thank you to write-in candidate Hup Dips, who tried his best to be the third option to be a host here on Greetings, the Greeting Card Podcast. As you all know, Bobby and I have kind of what is considered a death tontine with the fact that if one of us goes, the other one gets the ancient gold. So, and then Hip would come in. I've made him up and I've already forgotten his name.
He might have been the 20th dynasty of Egypt, but he's first in our hearts.
He's first in our hearts, 29th in Egypt. And it's, if you do the math, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
I'm glad, Bobby, you and I got elected yet again to do episode 62, 63, something in that ballpark.
It was a tough primary season. I mean, people said we were too young. They said we were too vibrant, too virile. Yep. They were worried that we would put off lesser folks who are just, they're not bubbling over with masculine or feminine energy, whatever you're in the mood for. We kind of did a chameleon thing. We can kind of do both.
We kind of allow both of the emanations of masculine or feminine. We're too virile. We're too full of pep and vinegar. We're too venomous. We have too much venom in us. We've emitted sort of a fugu fish kind of venom to the enemies on our debates. And so if you go back and sort of watch the questioning, which is great to do, Don Lemon does a fantastic job, I guess. I don't remember. But when we're up there, all the candidates start to talk about things like infrastructure and how they would do the episode editing differently and maybe try to get some advertisers. And then they all start getting real sleepy. And then they all just kind of slunch over. And then Bobby and I are sort of, I don't want to use the word throbbing, but we're kind of pulsating as if we've gained more blood. Is that the best way to say it?
I think that that's the fairest way. And that's why so often before the debate, I'm hanging my jaw over a glass and you'll see a clear liquid just sort of falling out of my incisors. And that's perfectly normal, you know, and I'm glad that we get another 45 years of a term to represent those people and all the ones who are, you know, looking for leadership in this tough time.
Here's to 45 more years, friend. And congratulations on getting that sweet deal about selling the anti-venom to Northwestern University. That's so cool that, like, you get all that money to just put your jaw over a big bucket and you just sit there for a couple of hours and anti-venom ahoy.
Yeah, I like it. No one else doesn't. But what are they going to do? Write in? They never do.
Yeah. Good luck enjoying your extra 1%. I don't like that with my venom, I just have to sit at the bottom of like a whiskey or tequila bottle and I'm used as like a novelty beverage for you to get like more drunk. I don't know.
That is a little undignified. I'd like to change that for you if I could.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. Yeah, my skin's getting real crackly with all this alcohol.
So, Dan, I'm not sure if whatever we said in the last 3 minutes was indicative of what we do here, but we are a greeting card podcast.
Never is.
Never is. Yeah. And I realized that I am a bit of an outlier, because I do not have a card stash. And I can't remember if we talked about this before, but I do not have in my house cards at the ready for me to write about. Any type of blank ones, birthday cards, sorry for your loss, happy for your loss.
For your moss.
Sorry for your birthday.
Sorry for your Kate loss. Moss loss.
Sorry for your Kate Moss loss.
We're not predicting that. That wasn't a prediction. Don't do that.
Please.
Nope.
No, we wish Kate Moss the best wherever she is. She's not lost, though.
We hope you're doing great. That was just a bit of wordplay and a tip of the hat to your modeling and acting career.
Yeah, good for her. But I do not have a card bank, and I think a lot of people do. A lot of people just have cards that they have blank ready to go for various occasions. I can only imagine you do. You seem like a doomsday prepper kind of guy.
You'd think that, Bobby, but really? At the end of the day, I have this sort of mantra about it that I want to go, and I enjoy the ceremony of going to the card place to find the card as the occasion draws near. Now, one can say what Dan is really doing is compensating for the fact that sometimes he forgets to get a card until much later. But other times, I do sincerely enjoy knowing that the occasion is coming up, whether it's a friend's birth style day, sorry for the moss on your back, congratulations on the new season of RuPaul, and I like to go and get the stuff. Now, I will say the exception to this rule are thank you cards. I will get a stack of those and have those ready to go at a moment's notice, because I feel like there are plenty of occasions where a thank you card is necessary and you'll just want to have one at the go. The other exception is if I see a card that I know I'm going to use in the future because its aesthetic, its design, its theming is exactly in tune with a family member's or friends of mine, and I know they're going to love it. Perfect example of this, the other day I bought like four kind of generic bunny cards. They
for Easter,
are,
no doubt.
You know what? I think it was either for Easter or for...
Oh, I'm sorry. Some doubt. Pardon me. I'll retract my last statement. That? For some doubt. I said no doubt, and you said no, and I said, okay, some doubt. Let's continue.
No, no, no. A mild doubt, I would say. Medium-style doubt. Buffalo Ranch-flavored doubt. I would say it was... Well, because they didn't say anything Easter about them. I guess they could have been. One, I was just hesitating right there because... I was going to say Lunar New Year, like somehow rabbits are associated with the moon. But I also know it's Year of the Dragon, so that also might not make any sense. So go ahead and completely omit that if I'm incorrect.
Oh, it is the Year of the Dragon. Yes, happy. Is it Chinese New Year is the term? Or is it
Yeah, or Lunar New Year. Lunar I mean, just Year, just sorry. Because multiple. No. Well, just because multiple, there'll be multiple cultures, Chinese and otherwise, that will celebrate for Year of the Dragon specifically. So I know this particular year is Year of the Dragon, but I also know there is a, because it's Lunar New Year, there is an association with the moon and bunnies. So often you will find cards with rabbits on them. So one of them, for example, are two rabbits looking at the moon. So that's why I hesitated, because I didn't think that one was Easter themed. But then another one was just a mom bunny with like baby bunnies around her. So I don't...
That's nice.
Yeah. So I don't know. I think that might be a Mother's Day card from another time. But that's one of the times when I do have a card bank. And then the other times I sort of do go kind of willy-nilly. Did you ever have a card bank? Was that something that you like ever had? Or you just... That was really not your thing. You just get them when you need them.
My wife is very good at that. And I just am not. It's just not a skill that I have. And I kind of wish I did. I should think about it more. It's like you said, it's a bit like going to the grocery store and not buying... only immediately the food you would plan to consume in the next half hour.
Oh, I'm bad at that though too. Like I absolutely do that as well. Like I will just get the food that I'm going to eat for the next couple of days. As we're talking on this podcast, I am going to have to go out right after this and get food because I am completely out.
I would have waited. You should have got food, man.
Oh, no. It's not even about that. It's like I, well, one of the things too is that it's so busy near me that I will only go grab groceries after 9 p.m. because of how busy it gets over at my local grocery stores. So
you
not
meet
even
the best people at the grocery store. Once you hit about midnight, 1 a.m., you meet the real people. That's where the magic happens.
You really, if you are listening to our voices, go, you know, as long as you're feeling safe, as long as you feel like everything's, you know, okay, all's Greg, I want you to go out there past 10 p.m., go to the late night grocery store, see the kind of characters you're going to pick up. I at one time had someone stop me, first off, to ask me about the additives in Barilla pasta, to which I was just trying to be nice and be like, yeah, that's why I really don't buy them. And then she said something like, yeah, that's why I pickle all my food. You know, that's the real medicine, not medicine they try to give us at the pharmacy. And I went, well, this has been nice. I got to go.
Well, this has been several seconds. Good day.
Well, we had time together and now, oh, look at that. It's done.
Talking every about, time I say goodbye, I die a little. That's what you're singing as you leave.
I say that quietly as I'm like just trying to back up and be like, okay, bye. Do you remember like a particularly weird experience at the grocery store? Because that, I think that would have been my weirdest in a while.
I'm trying to think of a single instance, but I love the idea that you could go into a grocery store at midnight or 1 a.m. and the people you meet are either having the absolute most relaxing night of their lives or the absolute worst night of their life, because the former category is people who said, I'm just in the mood for some Ore-Ida curly fries and I'm going to go get them and I'm going to just have a blast. And then there are people who are like, my dog broke up with me. My church is flipped upside down. And now it's raining. I've got to go get some Ore-Ida curly fries.
Either way, there's never a bad occasion for Ore-Ida brand curly fries. And look, you're either doing well or you're doing depressed. So make sure to mix those up with some pre-mixed up ketchup and ranch in a bottle called Cranch, which is actually available from Heinz, I believe.
Get Heinz and curly fries. Ore-Ida, don't know what you're doing. Oh, so close. That's right
Ore-Ida,
there.
Ore-Ida be mad at you if you don't.
Yours is better.
Because you're potato in the line if you don't do that. I would get off of my server job in college at like 1 a.m. and I'm covered in food effluvia. I am filled with not many tips, but quite a lot of demands from both my restaurant and terrible customers. I don't have any alcohol in me just yet, but what I do need is peanut butter and some really cheap cleaning products for my bad college apartment. So I go to the 24-hour grocery store that I live near. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing because, you know, like you get off sort of the kind of job where you're on your feet all the time. So your body, your muscles are just grateful that they're not tense anymore. Mm. And I'm walking through this grocery store, picking up things to buy. And I don't know, Man Eater by Hall & Oates is playing in the background. And I get this level of calm because walking through an empty grocery store does calm me. And I think to myself, if I get any more, if I had smoked a little bit, my heart would stop. Like if I did not have a little bit of coffee in me, like I would just be fully catatonic because there's just something about this that feels like that weird vaporwave moment of like comatose.
You're one of the few people who looks extra glassy under fluorescent lights. It really works for you in a way that it doesn't work for a lot of other people.
Thank you, Bobby. I appreciate that. I think you and I would both shine under the fluorescent lighting of the egg section. The fact that they're now $6 a 12 pack.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. General trends.
Yeah, thanks a lot. The egg industry who keeps telling us it's the avian flu, but when in reality, we know you're just lining your goddamn pockets.
Yeah, you're called out.
And we're hoping that this piece of media does some change to that. Just make them $2.99. You guys get that extra dollar, and we're still going to buy them.
You have us over the barrel. Just look
yeah, the egg barrel. You have us over the way you store these eggs in a big old barrel to make noggin.
I even feel like when you go to a grocery store at night, if they are ones that sell greeting cards, your eye is different. I think you notice some of the good ones because it might be a consequence of your brain being tired or just the lighting or the people around you. But I have gotten a fair number of good cards late at night walking in because I wanted some Takis or something and saying, you know, I don't think I've ever seen a Happy Bastille Day card. I should pick that up.
You're right. Your brain is a little bit stinkier around that time of night. So you have an added sensitivity to the eccentric cards. Like the other ones, you're going to just pass by on any other given day. But when you walk in and say, see a card that says, grandson, I'm sorry you didn't get the job at the arcade, but I'm really glad that you're getting the extra finger surgery. It's like, yes, I found it. Or it's like, a Power Ranger and it just says, grandson, it's your 96th birthday. Celebrate in style. Power Rangers are go. And that's, I think you're in the right mindset. Some of the best card retrieval I've done for this podcast has been at the Duane Reade late at night. And I'm just kind of, it looks like I'm researching with the Dewey Decimal System. Like I'm just sort of like
going
in with my
fingers.
Oh, you
put on glasses with a chain and you have one of those little jeweler flashlights that goes on the tip of your glasses. Like it's quite a thing to behold.
Oh, absolutely. I've got a mug of tea that I've put to the side somewhere that I'm going to forget about. And I've immediately put on a cardigan just to keep, you know, warmer because we've decided to turn down the radiator. That's absolutely the case when I go in there. But yeah, I think the nighttime is really good for that. I need to do my grocery shopping late at night. Otherwise, I just the anxiety that comes up is just really bad. So
it's funny that it's anxious for you to do it in the daylight or at a time that's not after dinner. Let's say maybe after dinner is the most between dinner and breakfast. Maybe that's the time I'm thinking of.
I don't want to blame COVID, but I do definitely think like the quarantine.
You can blame
has...
COVID. COVID's not here.
All right, cool.
I mean, yeah, on this podcast, COVID is sorry. Don't isolate that. COVID's here, but it's not on this podcast right now.
Just starting the podcast with Bobby saying, COVID's not here. Welcome to Greetings, the only podcast where Bobby admits there's no COVID. No.
Next on Mansers.
Did you know there's a whole galaxy made of beer?
There isn't, but there could be cool.
Did you know you could freeze your farts? Man, that was the best TV ever was. It's just like...
We peaked in 2006.
I just remember laughing with a friend. They have a whole episode dedicated. Like, did you know you can make your dick an extra inch longer? That was made for a 14-year-old that has turned off their brain. It's made for... Like, there already wasn't a lot to play with, and we're not going to even play with it. We're going to kick it like a soccer ball. No, I do think maybe... my whole thing with crowds, because it doesn't really get me on the train. It doesn't really get me on the city streets. It's just something about like that many people like looking for the same items in a store.
That was a traumatic moment, especially if you lived in a metropolitan area for COVID, was the sense of this could turn into a full-on stampede in a moment if everyone's not careful, like everyone grabbing supplies for COVID. It was not a fun thing to have gone through.
Yeah, you're right. I guess maybe that was one of the few social situations that you wanted to completely avoid if you could, but it was such a necessity to have to get food. That's how one does it, or, you know, sundries or toiletries or anything like that. And for me, it was like I kind of felt weirdly guilty about getting it delivered, not because I think I'm better than it or anything, just like I was like, well, I'm healthy enough and I might as well just go. And
you didn't want to pass the risk on to somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah, I didn't want to pass. Exactly. I didn't want to pass it to somebody else. And I was kind of like, well, that service is for somebody who truly cannot leave or truly needs it. And so I will go out and not overtake that service. But like the entire time I was like, Christ, like I was one of those that was absolutely spraying down their groceries for a bit until we learned.
Oh,
I
washed an onion.
Like, yeah.
There's no that thing's gone. There's no coming back from that.
There's no coming back. That onion is going to have put some Purell on that onion.
I washed a banana many times. Bananas come in their own case.
But that's not such a bad idea, I guess. You don't know what kind of.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, but we spray that shit so bad, you're probably better off because you don't know how much of that.
No,
bad...
I don't regret it. Yeah, and I did what I had to do, and that's the important thing. But I looking back, if someone said to me, like, remember, that's going to be something that I think will be like when we hear our grandparents' generation be like, oh yeah, like I had to go fight in World War II, you know. Like, remember when I washed a banana 500 times?
I mean, I was just thinking about, because there's already, I was looking at a thing on Reddit about kids already being nostalgic about memes from 2018. I mean, there's no way we're going to be able to describe our childhood to the next generation. There's going to be nothing to compare it to. Like you said, it's like, yeah, I took the bomber to Germany and, you know, I was trying to, fought in the Battle of Omaha Beach. And for us, it's going to be like, yeah, like I was cleaning an onion and kids were getting into Skibidi toilet. Like, how do you condense that for a child?
I miss Cheeseburger Cat.
Cheeseburger Cat was great.
That's the best we could do. Someone else I was talking to recently said something. We're the first generation to have nostalgia happen to us in the present. Like, most people sort of don't have access to constant nostalgia all the time. And as someone said, our age group, and I don't like to use the terms like millennial, Gen Z, Gen Y, because I find them just sort of silly. But they're arbitrary.
I agree.
They're like 1980, June 5th is one generation. June 6th is fuck you. It's something else.
Right.
But we're the first couple people who just had every single moment of our lives kind of documented, and they could at any time go back and say, I'm going to be 12 again for, you know, a couple hours. And it can happen on a dime. Immediately like that.
And that's such a difficult and dangerous drug, I think, because now I think a lot of media, not to go too deep into this, but like a lot of media is just nostalgia. There isn't like really a push for a creative front in something new. I mean, maybe that's oversimplifying it because I don't know exactly like how trends happen. Like, trends happen in monoculture, right? So like the whole idea is, if we're all just reading the same magazines and newspapers and watching the same TV and going to the same movies at the same theater, then yeah, someone has the option, some fucking marketing company can go bell bottoms this year and it's like, hell yeah, bell bottoms. And like, then everyone's
right
just
on,
wearing
brother.
Them right on, brother. Keep on trucking, bell bottoms. And that's like the option we have. But now, because of the internet, a combination of, you can be into whatever you want to be in and you're not obliged to just listen to whatever, I don't know, Tiger Beat tells you or whatever magazine you're reading, whatever People Magazine says. Or also, it kind of just always devolves back to nostalgia and we're just going to get another Twister movie or we're going to get, you know, Back to the Future Part 17. I don't know. It's just, it feels like we're nostalgic as quickly as we can because, like you said, like it's so easy to go back to it. And it's really comforting. It's really comforting to go back to something.
Yes,
you
survived the past. That's how comforting it is. You know you make it out.
But the problem is it wasn't that long ago. Like, that's the thing. Like, it's not that much of an accomplishment. It's like if your high school's had a 1-year anniversary party and it's like, we just got out of this.
We just did this. My phone sends me updates and says, remember the best moments. And it's me taking a photo of my car as I leave it in a garage to make sure they don't scratch it.
These are the memories we remember a lifetime. Just like the most brutal midday photos of your car. Just like a bad, I'm not saying you're a bad photo taker, but just there's no way to do it well. Like, the sun's just glaring on the window.
Fully a sulking attendant just being like, dude, I got a lot of cars to move. Just take your photo and go see Stomp or whatever you were driving in to see.
I think it's Stomp or Clomp or some piece of crap. Yeah, it's just it's just getting photos of like trash you find on the street. Those are usually mine when someone's like, here was your 2019, and it's like a half-eaten cheeseburger left on a fire hydrant. And I was like, yeah, what a year that was.
Treasure these moments. It's the selfie I took when I had my wisdom teeth out, so my cheeks are blown up.
Oh, I have same thing. I have photos of me with my wisdom teeth out. No one should have to share those. That's such a bad thing to do. Did you do yours voluntarily, or was there a medical need, or did someone?
No, I did mine voluntarily. Apparently,
you're a brave man.
According to local sources, I was terribly disappointing after having the medication and having my wisdom teeth out. I did not do or say anything funny except immediately after waking up. Apparently. Yeah. I turned to the dentist and I said, "Did you take my teeth out?" And the dentist said, "Yes." And I held out my hand and said, "Give them to me." Because I wanted proof that it worked.
"Sir, those are mine.
Those are my teeth."
I can just
see
you.
Those are my bones.
Like, not even a knock to you, but just thinking about you, my dear friend, being just partly drugged up, having two bones taken out of your jaw, just going, like demanding.
"I believe you have something that belongs to me."
I believe I came in with two teeth, like a hat. Like, just giving him $5 out of your wallet, like you're at the coat check. "I believe I had some teeth I'd like to bring back." Oh, we were talking. I don't know who I was talking about with, like, the idea of keeping your teeth. I think it was someone else I was talking about with wisdom teeth. And I don't care what you do with them. You know what? In my eyes, they're
they
no longer.
They can't stay here.
They cannot stay here. The minute they're out of my damn mouth, they're out for good. You don't get a second chance. This is like Starship Troopers. You sign 10-180E or whatever, and you go down washout lane. Mm. You do not come back. Yeah, it was. I do not want those teeth back to save my life. Do you have your wisdom teeth somewhere?
No, they wouldn't give them to me.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, if you ask for them, that is your property. You should be allowed to.
I
don't
so.
Want
I had
back,
a, I had a tin can all ready to take a bone and shake like a maraca.
You had a coffee can. You're going to shake it up. You're going to go, "Hey, call me Cuban Pete. I'm the king of the rumba beat. When I sing the maracas, I go cheek-cheeky-boom, cheek-cheeky-boom." He says, drugged out of his mind, blood dripping down his chin. Having ripped the stitches already. Because I was thinking, if you still had them, maybe like for it, whoever is our Patreon who gets us to, like, I don't know, if you're willing to give us $10,000, guess what you get? Bobby's teeth.
Bobby's wisdom teeth.
Babs teeth. Exactly. That's $5,000 a tooth. Weirdo.
Put those in a bank for 5 million years. You got a fossil going.
Ooh, very cool. Yeah, I'd love that. Future generations will be like, "Yep, that's a Bobby.
That's a Bobby tooth right there."
Yeah. We'll shove a bunch of my hair in it.
You can tell because it's covered in a fine layer of pixie stick dust.
Mmm. What flavor?
Pink.
I'm trying to remember which flavor that was.
I think
one time,
all the same.
One time after a summer party, we got like those just big old 3 foot tall fuck you pixie sticks.
Oh,
like
yeah.
we got a huge amount of those for a party, yeah. And I don't know what my parents are lovely, loving people, but also were very liberal in many ways, and just let me keep those bad things in my room. So no wonder I got into so much Adult Swim. I wasn't sleeping much that summer.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm only 2 feet tall. People can't see me, but I'm sure that stunted my growth.
People don't see me, but I am 450 pounds on a 5'6" frame, which does not. I am just a human tomato. Big old plump boy.
Dan, I had something I was going to tie up our plump boy
do it
pixie
now.
Stick grocery store conversation, but I lost it. So I'm just going to say, do you want to go to a cart?
I'm sorry if I put too many segues.
No,
in
no,
there.
No.
It's how
we,
I talk.
I think we have the burden of knowing too much and seeing too deep. And so
yeah.
It's better to go on a trip and not be able to close the steamer trunk than to open it up and just have dust fall out. Because then you're like, well, I'm going from nothing to something. Whereas we're like, we're leading so much here and we're going to go to get so much more.
Hey, we're troubadours of song. What can we say? We are conversation mancers. We know what we're doing.
We were born rambling men.
We were. Don't remember the second line of that song. But what I do have is the first page of this card. Bobby, where can they find the card if they want to find it?
I'm so glad you asked, because aww, if you didn't ask, I was going to ask me too. People can find us at GreetingsPod on Instagram or at GreetingsCast on X, which you might remember is a former website called something else. We would love to see your cards. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear how you hear about hearing about us. All of it is welcome, and we look forward to hearing from you.
All right, dig this shit, ding dongs. So it is a card, as you can imagine, rectangular fashion. We're not doing a horizontal this time around. This is not one of those smaller cards that's got a gift card, so please stop asking.
Yeah.
The image.
Relax.
Don't do it. If you don't want to do it, if you want to come. Gross. I don't know how to begin here, because this is quite a beautiful greeting card. It is very reminiscent. of probably early 1700s New England whaling culture. Now, what in the blue hell do I mean by that? The image in front of us, and it encapsulates the entire front of the greeting card, ding-dongs. I speak of no border. I speak of no color on the sides. I speak of no framing. What we've got here, from toe to tip, from end to end, is a watercolor image, I think. Would you call that watercolor, actually, Bobby?
That's the best approximation I could think of. I don't know how it was done, but it's at least aping the style of a watercolor.
The eyes have it. So it looks like a watercolor of a ocean image, but it is one of those juxtaposed ocean to shore, ocean to not shore, but top of the ocean.
The froth? No.
Yeah, like the froth, but I'm trying to think of like what is it called? Like you're reaching the shore,
the breakers,
like the breakwater, I guess. God, I have no command of the English language. So it's like from the ocean to the breakwater, probably like a couple hundred feet deep, I would say. Mm-hmm. So on the top of it, we can see we are in some sort of twilight, whether it be sunrise or sunset, but it is pink in the sky, almost a salmony orange. You know, as they say, red sky at night, red sky at night, sailors delight, red sky in the morning, sailors take warning. And we have sort of rock beds on both sides, kind of little islands of rock. So you can tell that this is probably the rocky shores of the New England coast. We've got what appears to be some kind of schooner or clipper ship, a good sailboat of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 masts total. It is probably going
out. That's a lot of masts. I'm just realizing that.
You got to imagine, though, if you're going to do what this thing is about to do, you probably got to get out there, right? Like, you got to get a lot of sails.
Mm-hmm. She's stacked. Look at all those masts. Stacked.
Got too many masts for me.
Tonight on Mansers, how many masts can you fit on your schooner?
Tonight on Mansers, we've got a mast full of content for you boys out there. Be-na-now! Masterful. They used to call me the Master Don. Where are you guys going? Don't leave. The ship is going one way or the other, but below the ship, not 8 feet from the surface of the water. That probably was the word I was looking for from the beginning. Not 8 feet from the surface. We have the looming, ominous image of a whale. Mouth agape, tongue out, teeth baring, a position of looking to the sky, almost crying out the name of God in his very eyes from the depths below, the watery depths from which this whale lives. And as we descend further down the oceanic pull, we sort of see as the coloring goes darker, we almost cannot make out. We can barely make out the full image of the whale's tail as it's sort of curved in an S fashion below.
That's right.
So it's sort of
that might be the light that I took it into. So it's a little darker near the bottom. That may be a trick of the light.
But it kind of works though, if that's really color scheme. The whale looks, I don't want to say pissed. It almost looks a little too disturbed to be pissed.
It's been startled.
It's startled. I don't know by what though. And then is this, now I'm stuck on the species. Is this a spermed whale?
I think so. It was my favorite whale for much of my life, and due in no small part to Pinocchio, I think has popularized the image of the sperm whale.
Yes. Yeah.
Dick too, right? Moby Dick is a sperm
Moby
whale.
Dick, I believe, was a great white sperm whale. Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Giggles. That, but
it's really good that that book has no subtext. Otherwise, we'd be in trouble.
Yeah. No metaphors at all. Thank goodness. We can just barely go right through it. Call me nothing. Yeah, this whale appears to be agitated. I can't tell if it's because of this ship, which is this a whaling ship is another question we can sort of ponder upon. I know so little about the whaling industry, something that I like to make jokes about. The idea of scrimshaws are intriguing to me, but I know not what a proper whaling ship looks like and if this would be the case, because I can't imagine this puny thing carting off a whale carcass, or even hunking off a bunch of meat for the whale oil. You know what I mean?
I cannot think that you know less than the average Joe about whaling.
Bobby, you probably know not only more than the average Joe, but myself. I bet you have done research on the dang thing. You've probably read a book on it. You're telling me you have not?
I don't think so. I've never read Moby Dick, and I know what whale tallow is, but I think that's where my knowledge stops. And I know that if you swallow a puppet, or rather if a sperm whale swallows a puppet, it can survive for up to 16 minutes of a feature film.
What really scared me about that movie was just the noise the whale made. It was just a really scary kind of like, woo!
Yeah.
And I, as a child, I did not like that. I know about ambergris, but I have no interest in obtaining any, or like, I believe Charles II, cooking it with eggs. Don't want that at all.
Oh.
Well, yeah. Yeah. That's how you know you've run out of things that money can do for you when you
start
eating.
You don't have to eat for the rest of the day.
Oh,
well. That's enough calories.
That's enough. That is enough calories and whale phlegm to last you a good long while.
Tonight on Mansers, how much ambergris do you have to eat to get a boner?
Tonight on Mansers, this whale phlegm will get you more fucked up than vodka. It'll make you wanna. Tonight on Mansers, have you ever seen a whale's boobs?
We haven't. We're looking.
We're trying. Please help us. Where do you get them? Are they mammals? We're not sure. Where are the tits on this thing? Okay. It's Spike TV. They would talk like that. But
yeah, we're not doing an impression that's far off from the real thing.
Come on, if you've ever watched Mansers out there and just like,
yeah, if you haven't seen Mansers, do yourself a favor or don't look up a clip on YouTube.
Yeah, if you've never seen Mansers, do yourself a favor and watch something nice.
If you think we're kidding.
The one about getting the joke I made earlier about getting your member to be an inch bigger was a very real segment they did. And the images that they show make you want to just kind of go to bed or just kind of like, I don't know, like put on another pair of pants like above the ones you got.
You were only watching because the James Bond marathon was starting 15 minutes later and you just had to get through that segment.
There literally was like, coming up next at 8 p.m., we've got From Russia with Love. But before that, at 7 p.m., can you fit a whole beer stein up your ass?
That's like a real episode, though.
That is. That really is what they would do. Yeah, absolutely. They would be like, we've got Moonraker at 9 p.m., but first, aren't boobs cool? Those are the things men like. Old James Bond films and cool boobs.
My question was like, do you think that Napoleon liked igneous rocks or sedimentary? And they're like, we're not answering that. We can't get involved in that snake bit again.
I think one of mine's would have been like, well, in the colonial era, if they didn't have olive oil, could you use walnuts? Would you make a tea out of them? Shut up. And how much Bud Light could kill a fox? We're going to get this horse drunk. These are the kind of questions that sailors on these boats probably had. And that's what made them go friggin' insane and didn't think manatees were mermaids and that drinking seawater was good for you or that having a ship in the maritime industry was ever at all smart in this era. Mm. Because this conjures up definitely the reminder, both in the 1700s and now, that we don't know dick about the ocean and we should be afraid of it. And we should treat it with respect, gratitude, and bone-crunching fear. Mm. Because it reminds me that like these kind of images, when we've got the breakwater on the top, and then we've just see the depths, and whether it's a massive whale. I mean, that's the other thing about it is that if this is from like an actual piece from like that time period, it was meant to like give you the impression of just how big these creatures were. And sometimes it would be in earlier times, it'd be like sea monsters, just to give you a general impression. And one of them impressions is that, yeah, the ocean's fucking scary. These are things that live down there and we don't have really any control on them. And then we live in 2024. And I learned the other day that we only really have like, I don't know, don't at me if I've got this wrong, ding dongs, but I had heard that we've only got about like 35% of the ocean floor mapped out, which is a shockingly low number for the technology we have.
Every three steps you take, you're not sure where the last two come from.
Yeah,
in perspective.
Yeah, if we were on the ocean floor and we were trying to like skate through with like a submarine, we have no idea what the altitude of things are. There are probably 50 Mount Everests down there. We just have no idea. We know more about space mostly than we do about what's going on in the ocean depths. So we should continue to be afraid. These images should still conjure up this sort of, like when fairy tales remind you that the woods have ghosts, this is a reminder that like, yes, the ocean has ghosts as well.
Oh, man, I can't believe we just said that out loud. Why didn't you, I gotta write a story about ocean ghosts. What the hell have I been doing? Damn it.
That's yes.
Such a good idea.
Write about ocean ghosts. I don't know.
Listener, shut up. You didn't hear that. That's my idea.
Ding dong. If I see a single, I am going to do Google searches. And if I see a single ocean ghost story coming up in the Tulip Tree Review, by the way, pick up Bobby O'Rourke's recent piece and the Tulip Tree Review, or any other publication, we're grabbing the scrimshaws and we're going right for your heart because you can use them as a weapon. They're kind of sharp.
Tonight on Mansers, you can run, but you cannot hide from Dan and Bobby.
Tonight on Mansers, ocean ghosts, don't steal that idea.
This card actually does frighten me a little bit. I don't think we're being too hyperbolic. It is, I have a friend who actually kind of has a touch of what I think is thalassophobia, which I had to look up to remind myself. It is technically a fear of the deep ocean. Like, that's the literal definition. But oftentimes what it means is a fear of, like, not basically knowing how deep something is. So this sense of, like, the friend I have will go into pools, will swim that way, but won't go in the ocean because the second his feet disappear beneath the color of the waves, he's like, I don't want to know. And I'm afraid to, I don't know what's below my foot as I step down, which this card actually might be the most effective scary card that's not Halloween based. And not that we've seen many scary Halloween cards, in fact, the opposite, but this one is almost not trying to be scary. And that's why I think it's so effective.
Well, it's this one is more bucolic, not to overuse that word, because I know I've used
a
that
little
for
bit.
A lot
yeah, it looks like a painting or a mural or something.
Yeah, it's very quaint. It's very put together. It's very pleasant. It's very maritime pleasant. It's like you said, it was probably meant to give the full scale of these beasts. And maybe, you know, we talked about us being hyperbolic, but I think actually this card might be doing a little too much to try to scare us on whales, when in reality, that's just propaganda from the whale oil industry. Like, look, we're justifying why we got to kill these things. Tonight on Mansers, we should be killing whales, and here's how. But
build your own harpoon. Out of boobs.
This beer keg runs on whale oil and can also give you a huge hard-on. But in actuality, I would love to have this framed in like a shore home. This would be like a really nice thing to have.
Quite
there.
An ominous shore home, I think. The second you walk in the door, there's a big mural of a gigantic sea beast.
Oh, no, but I love that though, because your friend, I might not be necessarily at the level of thalassophobia, which I also just learned thanks to you telling me, but I have a deep respect for that phobia, because I think there are some phobias that come from a... like, there are some that are a little overblown, but I think a lot of them are just like, yeah, I want to survive, and this is how I'm going to do it. I'm going to be afraid of this thing and avoid it. And don't just go in the ocean because you want to. If I can't see my feet, that's a bad thing. That's like kids who swim in quarries. When I found out that, like, deaths happen in quarry water, when, like, quarries are filled up with water and kids play in it, the water looks gorgeous because the minerals sort of purify it. So, like, they jump in there to, like, have fun, but then they sink like stones.
It's
because
heavier,
mineral,
right? There's something that happens where the water is, quote, heavier than regular fresh water or something?
Yes, because it's more mineral dense, and so we are going to sink in it. So, like, salt water, we float, and neutral water is neutral, and mineral water, we absolutely just sink like stone. So there's a lot of recorded deaths when people, like, swim in quarries.
Wow.
So, yeah, avoid those things. Avoid that stuff if you can. I think if I spend 20 minutes in the ocean a year, I am set. I've done my job. I don't feel like I've missed out on a dang thing. And yes, you know what? In testament to your friend, if I had a lovely shore home that people could come in, first there would be one of those, like, wooden things that say, live, laugh, love in the sand. And another one that says, seagull chatter incoming. And then another one that is just a big mural of this whale. And I just go, gentle reminder. Now who wants a salty dog?
FYI.
FYI. Coming up on Mansers. That would be another one. I would have a pillow that just says cross-stitched coming up on Mansers.
Well, you just named your next birthday gift. I hope you're proud of yourself.
Yes. Oh, I love when we do that here. Coming up with birthdays. We'll give that to each other. And then, like, on the flip side, we can both have a different one. Like, one says, coming up on Mansers, how beer gives you a boner or something stupid like that. With just a lovely, lovely flower border. And the other one just says, coming up on Mansers, how boobs stopped the Vietnam War. It didn't. It's just, boy, you know what? Honestly, if you were thinking you were going to watch Mansers, just listen to the end of this episode. This is basically what it was.
This is it. Yeah.
This is all it was.
Just save yourself some time. But I love the home decor that you've set up here, the Mansers pillows and the sea beast greeting you at the front door and the broken helm that says, like, bless this mess. Like, I think you got a really nice home going here.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thank you. Obviously, you and your wife are more than welcome to come by. We'd love to have you over we do have a little bit of a dress code, only boat shoes, no socks. And we will need a polo draped around your shoulders the whole time, regardless of the weather.
Permission to come aboard.
Permission granted, sailor. You know what they say, it's not the size of the ship, it's the episode of Mansers that we watch at the end of the night.
That's so true.
I should go on to the next page, which is our meditation page, or is this just the place where you write inside a card?
Well, You know what? I wasn't sure if this episode would be 10 minutes long or an hour and a half. We're averaging in the middle because, Dan, there is nothing inside this card.
Oh, doodlebugs. And you done ham-hoozled me.
And I'll tell you for why. I didn't mean to trick you. I didn't want that to be how
I feel besmirched.
Down. I would too. I found this card, or Maddie did, in Print Bookstore, which is a place in Portland, Maine, which is an absolutely lovely bookstore. I'll see if I can tag them.
Portland town.
Yeah, it's a beautiful bookstore. It's lovely. I bought this card because they do good stuff. And I was genuinely fascinated and a little terrified of the card. And I had to know, like, what sentiment would you put in here? And it turns out the answer is, we don't know either. It's just a very nice card. Put whatever you want inside. We don't care.
That is a fantastic point, that there is nothing... I'm sorry, I'm taking a moment to give myself the grace to use that, to use what would be my meditation time to think.
I did
wait,
steal that
it?
From you. Take
it's,
your time.
No. It's you didn't steal anything from me because you're explaining that, because I just jumped right into it, that we explain what the card is for, where it is meant to go, its trajectory for the holidays, and yet again we're in one that we don't know of. But I feel like I say that a lot. Like, I don't know who this card is for. So instead of me throwing that question on the ding-dongs and making you guys do all the work, which, by the way, you should anyways because you don't pay for this thing, then instead I'm going to go ahead and say, honestly, what is this for? This is for every person in your life who either, two things, are a little too brazen about the ocean or don't respect whales. If you've got a friend in your life that doesn't do one of these two things, maybe they like going to SeaWorld for reasons that are not great. I mean, if you're going to SeaWorld for any reason, it's not great. But if you...
I lost my quarter there. I got to go back and get it.
I really enjoy the roller coasters. They do the hot dogs just right over there.
I go to taunt the narwhals and I tell them, you're just the lazy whale.
Yeah, that's it. I look at the polar bears and I go, only a matter of time for you. Only a matter of time. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you are going there... If you've got a friend who doesn't respect whales or doesn't respect the ocean, this is the card for them. Mm-hmm. And whatever the celebration might be for them, happy eighth grade graduation, happy birthday in the Cayman Islands. It's your under the tax bracket birthday or under the table tax birthday. But what your illegal Cayman Island account birthday. But regardless of what the holiday might be, this is for your inconsiderate ocean friend.
That's right.
Or the only other person I can see this being appropriate for, historical maritime enthusiasts. They're kind of people that would live in Portland, Maine. Maybe go to whaling museums. Maybe go to live readings of Moby Dick. Maybe knows a lot about scrimshaws. Maybe collects them.
Really, anything you know about scrimshaws is more than most people.
Oh, God. If you know what a scrimshaw is, you are like 50% there. It's like those tests where like you get like 40 points just to sign your name in. That's what having a scrimshaw is. Yeah, definitely.
And we're not going to tell you, listener, because you got to earn that.
You got to look that up. Come on. You're listening to this thing on a computer. Like, just take the moment to flip by. You can still listen to us. That's what iPhones do. But I'm none of those things. I still would be honored to have this card, mostly because the illustrations of the ocean in those days fascinate me. Like the way they just try to describe what monsters of the ocean look like. And it always just goes back to being like sea dragons. It's like normally, if they couldn't explain what it was, like if it was like, hey, this big mouth bass was slightly bigger than the other ones, sea dragon.
Sea dragon.
That albatross is being consumed by that pelican, sea dragon.
Sea dragon.
If you can't explain it. If anything, this makes me want to learn more about like the whaling industry. I remember about 2 years back, there was that trend of people really liking, what was it?
The sea shanties, right.
Yeah, like the Wellerman was a big one. Mm-hmm. And I think that was about whalers in New Zealand. I think that exactly was what it was.
Someone at work, when that was hot, came up to me and said, I feel like you do this.
I could see you being, I hate to put you in a Bobby box, but I do feel like you being in a maritime acapella band makes a lot of sense.
Problem is, I only know Far Over the Misty Mountains from The Hobbit. I don't know any sea shanties.
This is a beautiful song. That's a beautiful.
Far over the misty mountains.
That is a beautiful song.
And that's, it feels like a sea shanty. It should be. They should be on a boat, but they're dwarves on land.
Yeah, there's whatever. Not a lot of mountain songs is the problem. Like, and I don't mean like Ozarkian roots music, which I do.
There aren't enough Ozark songs. Come on, people.
There's not enough Appalachian songs. Come on, get out there. You know, we had a little moment in the early 20th century and then we lost it. Let's get back to that, huh? Let's get back to some bluegrass. No, but there isn't enough pre-Ozarkian, pre-American roots music mountain songs, like just about mining.
That's on the other pillow. It says Tonight on Mansers, and then the other side, it says there aren't enough pre-Ozarkian mountain songs.
Tonight on Mansers, sea shanties and how they took away from the mountain industry. Drinking beer and booze.
I did consider sending this card to you with nothing in it except me copying down word for word Quint's monologue from Jaws.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. And then on the back, you just write, well, anyways, we dropped the bum.
Imagine getting a card in the mail. It's like around your birthday. You're like, oh, well, let me see. It's like Japanese submarine slammed 2 torpedoes into our side. Vessel went down in 12 minutes.
Lifeless eyes, black eyes, like a doll's eyes. Don't see him coming or going. I would be like sitting next to my girlfriend and she'd be like, damn, what's wrong? I'd be like, I gotta call Bobby. Maybe I should probably just go to him. I don't think this is a phone situation.
He texts me like, got your Kwanzaa card. Everything cool?
Bobby, thanks. I didn't retire, but thank you. Everything all right? I'm still working. I'm 32. Yeah, that would be a beautiful, like, and then, like, every so often the font gets a little bit bigger when you write something, like, was a, like, don't see him coming or going. It's just, like, just gets a little bit bigger there.
Thursday morning, I bumped into a friend of mine, Obi Robinson, baseball player. He'd been bitten in half. Anyway.
I would watch Jaws once a year with all of my friends that were
I
surfers.
Do watch Jaws once a year.
I want to go back to watching it. It's a lot of fun. But I remember I watched it with some friends in my neighborhood who were surfers. And they were all like really nice guys and we had fun. But I always thought to myself, wait, you still go out there? Like, haven't you learned? Has this not taught you anything?
I am actually one of the people, I think, who could use this card, Dan, because I love the ocean. It's one of my favorite trips to take every year. But I hopefully, knock on wood, have a healthy respect for it because I am fully aware that I give up basically any advantage my intellect might give me by going into a place where all of my foes move in three dimensions and I'm really only comfortable with two.
We all make that sacrifice one way or another down the line. And if you're doing something you love, then I got nothing against it. It's more about me having a personal aversion to to the ocean and its many demons. But I also might think, look, I also am just a little salty, no pun intended, because of because I just get terrible seasickness still, and I want to be more of a seafaring man. I think I have the appearance of one. If you put enough tweed on me and give me a pipe for tobacco, I do think I would play a decent North Irish ferryman, but the North Seas.
No question. But, yeah, you'd fit like a glove.
I think I would, and I think I'm just more a little peeved that I'm so sick when I get on a boat that I just become an all-American weenie. I'm literally on the floor, like grabbing my stomach, no matter how much Dramamine I shove in my gaping maw.
This card almost could be a little abstract. I feel like not even for a holiday, you could give this to your young cousin or somebody who's getting into skateboarding, like a dangerous sport, and just give them this card and inside just says, be careful, wear a helmet. It's like, this is abstract, but I'm saying there's monsters out there and just treat yourself, you know, you're just a bag of meat. So just remember that before you do anything dangerous.
You got to make sure you end it with a fun pun though. So you got to be like, remember you're a bag of meat, have a whale of a time. Love Grimgram. Love Gamgoop. Love GameStop.
You're krilling it out there.
You're going to have a plank ton of fun. Have a whale of a time. call me Fishman. No, hold on. I got this.
Call me Fishman.
I think I'm cribbing that from something. I might have to cut that. But that can't be my bit. That's got to be
the idea of Herman Melville, like first draft, like call me Fishman. It's close.
It's
really close.
It's got something. Well, I wanted to do something with like the mail, like call me Ish, M-A-I-L, call me Ishmael, Ishmael, Ish. This is great. People love listening to this.
People love us working out bits in live
more like,
time.
More like Ish fail, am I right? Whatever. Last page.
There you go. You got it back.
Whatever. Last page. Thanks, friend. Last page, it is, again, the severe whiteness of a blank card, except for the text on the bottom, which is a general reminder of what you're going to see once a whale eats you and you are not lucky enough to be a little wooden boy who didn't turn it into a donkey. Mm. And we get the author, who is, or artist, I should say, excuse me, Emily Winfield Martin, a Emily Winfield Martin, which is absolutely a early 20th century artist, I am convinced.
And oh, she's a ghost.
That is a ghost. That is an ocean ghost if I've ever heard one.
Yeah.
She put a curse on a bay and jumped into the ocean, and then this whale gulped her up. And the whale's name, the name of the piece is called Leviathan Below, which, nice name, mm-hmm. I gotta say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do enjoy Leviathan Below.
And so gnarly for a greeting card, right? Because most of them are like fuzzball birthdays, like Leviathan Below.
Leviathan Below. Yeah, exactly. Spider-Man says, happy sixth birthday, son. Leviathan Below. That's one gnarly narwhale. Printed in Portland, Oregon, on forest-friendly, FSC-certified, 10% post-consumer recycled paper, using renewable green energy and vegetable-based inks. Jesus. You know, I believe them because of the amount of modifiers and quantifiers that were in that thing.
No one writes vegetable-based and doesn't mean the hell out of it.
Yeah, if you have to write vegetable-based, you better believe they did their homework. They know for a fact it is. Otherwise, why the hell would you bother?
This isn't your grandmother's well-managed forest, you know what I mean?
Yeah, great-grandma GameStop. This is her protected forest and her beet ink that she makes every morning for us, squeezing them fresh beets, putting on a fresh episode of Manters and squeezing them beets for ink.
I own all the seasons on Blu-ray.
Come out here, young Bobby. Did you know that your boobs can be a gun?
Put down the gun, Grandma. We got to go fishing.
Come on, Grandma. We got to go whale shooting. I got to go use my double barrel logic on a sperm whale. If you would like more of these Leviathans, whether they're above or below, you can find them at EmilyWinfieldMartin.com. Again, that's EmilyWinfieldMartin, all one word, .com. A product of BuyOlympia.com. So it might be a byproduct of Biolipia. Any product you buy somewhere might be a byproduct.
They're a munitions factory that also happens to produce greeting cards.
They are, yeah. You can get a decent Glock from EmilyWinfieldMartin.com while also getting greeting cards. God. You need to stock up. Well, look, you got to kill whales somehow. How else are you going to do it?
That's what this whole podcast has been about from the beginning.
Yeah, we are.
It's us or them.
I'm taking a fucking stand. I love whales and what they do. I enjoy their ambergris products for our colognes, and I enjoy their imagery for our scrimshaws. But gosh dang it, how else are we going to fuel our homes? What are we going to use? Solar? Gas? Wind? Other types of oil? Fracking? Bobby, help me out. I've only got five. Well,
I was just going to say, sure, we want Willie to be free, but what's he going to do with that freedom?
Oh, my God. Do you think a whale appreciates their freedom? Answer, that's none of my business. I'm a human and I'm selfish. I want things the way I want them.
Yeah.
I don't know if a whale does, but well said. I don't know if I'd ever want to swim next to a whale. For all the gump I just gave about being in the ocean, I will say snorkeling is a lot of fun, but the people that scuba dive next to whales... I give you all a lot of credit. That would scare me a little bit.
I think if someone gave me the opportunity, I'd have to consider it, but I don't think I have the spirit to just go out and say, I'm going to go find a whale and just hang on.
That's the big part. You got to find one. That's the toughie.
You do have to find it. Yeah, famously, they don't like when people are around because that usually goes poorly for the whale.
The instructors don't tell you where the things are. You got to go out there yourself. You pay for the scuba equipment and for the friendly, sun-kissed man that joins you. But he's like, no, I'm not going to find you a whale. He's, what do I do, find whales? Have you seen the size of those things? I'm not even a pretzel to it. I'm more like one goldfish.
I just had an image of you going to the cheapest whale watcher, and he's like, all right, begin. And it's you in full scuba gear on the shore, and you like wet flap your way like into the ocean, not even on a boat. You're like, I'll be back.
David's Whales, it's called. And he uses the font from Walt Disney World. He uses Walt Disney font very illegally. David's Whales. All right, have fun out there.
Find him or don't. It still costs $50.
Hey, it's still the ocean, ain't it? Aren't you grateful?
Dan, where do you... It's hard to say because it could be kind of anything, but where do you put this card in the fridge?
I mean, I think of our fridge in many ways like a vast ocean, an ecosystem, as it were, there is empty. You promised me I could do it.
Smoke them if you got them. It's going to be a long night.
Anybody got a cigarette? gotta use the bathroom. No, it's there. It is teeming with life, but at the same time, there's always room for one more. And there's I don't even know what that means. And there's room for this beauty on the fridge for me, because I know I will encounter a friend that will need this most, whether they need to be reminded of the evils of the ocean, whether they themselves are a fan of whale lore, or the third thing that we said earlier that I can't remember. You forget how big whales are. Or maybe we're going to see a Mancers marathon at the Alamo Draft House. Either way, there are times for it, but mostly I might be a little selfish and want to hold it for myself because I got to give it to, again, Emily Winfield Martin. This is a handsome card, and a handsome card deserves a handsome play. So I'm going to put this card top left of the fridge door near the handle so that I can be greeted with its whale glory every time I open it, because much like the inside of a whale's mouth, there's treasure. But I super hope I don't have a little wooden puppet in my fridge. I was just going for some more seltzer water. Uh-oh. Wow. Look what I found. Oh, and there's a full-grown Italian man in here. Great.
Yeah, everyone forgets about that part.
Yeah, everyone forgets about Geppetto being there. Bobby, where would you put this fine piece?
It really is a beautiful card. I think it's one of the prettiest, most artistic cards we've ever seen, on the front at least. And I almost take it as a wonderful joke that there's nothing you could possibly say on the inside of this card that would seem in any way appropriate except to say, like, celebrating your rescue from that one whaling expedition you went on in the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
And I think I'd have to put it probably middle of the fridge too, like dead center. It's maybe not like the most bells and whistles on a card, but it is solid. It does what it says it's going to do. And then I do kind of love the idea of if I opened it up on the fridge, I would just be in the middle of a monologue. It's like, didn't see a first shark for a half hour. Tiger, 13 footer. No, you can tell Tiger Chief. Tell me, looking from the dorsal to the tail. And that's like in the tiniest writing you can possibly read.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Like so much so that you almost do it a little too small so that in the next page you like ran out and then you realize, oh, let's just do the scene where they're going on the ferry together and the mayor goes like, you yell shark, we've got a panic on our hands on the 4th of July. And then you can like, then you realize you have too much space again. And then you're like, okay, well, I'll do the mother who's like, my son is dead. Like you're basically just writing all of Jaws on a card.
It's just, I just superimpose Richard Dreyfuss's face with a pen in his mouth, like a tiger shark. And then the guy in the other go, a what?
A what? Just, can I have a glass of water, please? No external organs to be found. You just do the scene where he's like, just looking up the dead lady's body. Everyone loves that in a card.
Everyone loves that in a card.
That's some bad hat, Harry. No, yeah, that is, this is definitely like one of the more gorgeous cards we've ever had here. And I think it deserves that place. It's nice to know that you'll have to work hard to find the person that this directly relates to. To my Portuguese sailor friends, I'm glad that the orcas are finally like laying off a little bit, but maybe we like take a hint and maybe stop fishing for a couple years. Moratorium. Anyways, bye.
Nice barca. That's a nice boat, I think.
Barca. I don't even know.
Yep, that's it. We did it.
All right. That's all.
All right.
All right. Well, Bobby, you are a treasure as always. And thank you for bringing me a whale of a tale that we could tell today here on Greetings, the Greeting Card Podcast. A pleasure of a time. But if other people want to see this whale for themselves, where can they go a hunt and harpoon or otherwise?
Well, they could take their spyglass and their grizzled and possibly insane captain. Maybe his name is Ahab. We don't know. To Greetings Pod on Instagram or to Greetings Cast on Twitter/X. And we'd love to see you come ashore. And Dan, I don't have any other place to fit this, but the adjective form of whale is cetacean. And I hope you have a cetaceous evening.
Wait, say that one more time for me.
I think the one
the adjective of whale.
To say something is like a whale, it's like one of the orders of scientific classification is cetacea, apparently.
Oh, so, like that is a cetaceous thing.
Yes, I guess so. But so I hope you have a cetaceous evening.
And I wish you a cetaceous evening as well. And you better get on this boat with me because that wasn't a tiger shark.
Oh, we're leaving. Bye.
Hey,
bye.
The whale may come. Bye.
Let the wellerman come. Farewell and adieu to you,
you fair Spanish ladies. Adieu
to you, ladies of Spain.
Vodka butter for her. Tired of your man? So are you. Vodka butter.
Don't eat it.
Vodka butter. It's not to eat. Stop. kind of, hold on, I'm clipping a little bit. I think my gain is a little off. My Chris Gaines. That's right, Chris Gaines. We're
vodka
talking about
butter. Forget the Alamo, remember your lover.
Forget the alimony. Chris Gaines is vodka butter for women. Wait, who is the country star who Chris Gaines is? I love Garth Brooks. That's it. Garth Brooks' alter ego, Chris Gaines, which should be the name of a wrestling, bodybuilding supplement.
Yeah, of course. Chris Gaines. Yeah,